Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Let me start off by first giving thanks to God, our Father, for the blessing that he has bestowed on me. This was very unexpected. I had planned on doing some other classes and doing some other things, working towards that degree, but the Lord intercede, and when I returned from Atlanta, I received a word that he had blessed me with this beautiful opportunity to serve. Amen. I want to thank Shiloh for their support. You know, the things that I do because you help me do them. You encourage me, and you give me strength when I need it and understanding through the teaching and preaching of the word. And I have yet to see anyone in here who has not contributed to my understanding or to my help or even to my needs. And so, Shiloh, I want to thank you because I don't know of any other house of worship I would rather be in than the house of God. Thank you very much. And now to get on with what I'm supposed to be doing as I stand here, bringing the word of God. So for those of you that have your word and you choose to stand, please do so now. I'll be reading for your hearing coming out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12. Chapter 4, verse 12. Hear ye the words of the Lord. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing of the soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. You may be seated.
Amen.
For a moment, I would like to speak to you on the subject, the Word of God. The Word of God. God's Word is the primary means by which God is present and in the working of the world. He himself is not physically here, nor in part of this world, but he acts in it as a means of his word. He became personally known to us through his word. First Samuel 3:21 says, "The Lord appeared at Shiloh and revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." We have to understand that not only that, but Jesus' message also, that he is the one who communicates God to us. He himself is described as the Word of God. In 1 John, when it starts off, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus brings the presence of God to a new spiritual and physical understanding. The personal presence of God in the world in a human form is Jesus Christ. Jesus said in his in the prophecies that was given before his birth, and even in Matthew 1:23, it says, "His name shall be Emmanuel, God with us, for he shall save his people from their sins." When we talk about the Word of God, we have to understand that's a burden that God has placed on every one of us as human beings. You often think of it as a burden for parents and for those that have children, but brothers and sisters, you don't have to have any children. You can keep someone else's child, or you can help them along the way. We send our children to school to learn, to study, and to remember what they have read and heard, so that they may achieve a measure of success in life. It's vital that we read the Word of God, study the Word of God, and remember God's Word that we might obtain eternal life and a life more abundantly even now. But more important to what we get is what God has called us through Jesus Christ to do. And that is, we are to be a witness for Jesus Christ. We're to be a living witness for Jesus. How can you witness for Jesus if you know nothing about Jesus? How can you be a living witness for Jesus if you don't have a relationship with Jesus? Amen. Your job as a disciple of Christ is to go ye therefore to all nations, teaching them all that I have taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. As biblical disciples of Christ, we say we believe in the full and complete verbal and written inspiration of the Bible as the Word of God. That it's authentic, that means it's trustworthy in its matter, authoritarian and authoritative, in its counsel and inerrant, that is, without mistakes, in its original writings. It contains the state of man, whether he's saved or lost, the judgments of sinners, and the way of salvation. Its histories are true. Its doctrines are holy, and its precepts are binding. When we talk about the Word of God, there was a saying back in the day when I was just a child between men. They would make a deal with one another, and they say, "My bond is my word." And then they would shake hands, and that would seal the deal. What we have to understand is, being based on what they did, it wasn't about their reputation. You know, reputations change, but your character is who you really are. It was a matter of trust between these men, based on one's character. Today, we trust men and women, yet very few of them trust God. God is greater than any man or woman, created or past tense. The Bible says, don't put your trust in man, but put it in God. Trust in the Lord with all your might, and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. When we read, and when we hear, and when we accept God's word, we receive a blessing. A lot of people say, I don't read the book of Revelations because I just don't understand it. Brothers and sisters, I didn't understand it either when I first opened it up. But what I did read in the first chapter and the first few verses, it says, you get a blessing just reading this book. So I was looking for the blessing. It took me quite a while to accept the fact that God was blessing me as I was reading, because he was increasing my knowledge and understanding of who he is through Christ Jesus. What we have to do is stop being afraid of the word and embrace the word, brothers and sisters. It's not about what you know. It's about what God will tell you. Amen. And give you understanding in. That's why you have the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have to receive a blessing. Why? Because the word of God is the word that is integrity. God's word. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of a man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Numbers 23:19. When Jesus was beyond our even conception, in Genesis 3:15, God made a promise. He said, I will put this enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And in the fullness of time, Jesus came, born under the law, born to redeem those under the law. What we have to understand is Jesus also came and said, I am the Lord, I change not. And Jesus said the same thing, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not, for I and my Father are one. The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned it, so will be. And I have proposed it, and so it will stand. Brothers and sisters, God has blessed us with great and tremendous promises. He does not make promises that he does not fulfill. He does not say things that he cannot do. For God is God Almighty all by himself. There is nothing that he cannot do. Amen. for those that trust and believe in him. The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely he will perform. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed by God, and he commanded it so that what we see was not made by what was visible. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. The starry hosts came by his breath out of his mouth. He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. I will not violate my commandment, my covenant, or alter my lips, he uttered. Simply this, God said, let there be, and there was. And when he said, separate the firmament from the waters, they were separated. He set the boundaries, and they don't go beyond that. The stars that we see in the sky tonight are limited because the sin nature helped to kill a lot of them. But God put as many stars in the sky as you can even imagine. And he said so because he put it there by the breath of his mouth. We have to understand that we serve an awesome and mighty God. There is no God like our God. As the rains and snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flower, so that it yields seed to the sower and bread to the eaters, so the word of God goes out of his mouth. It will not return void or empty, but will accomplish what it desires and achieves and the purpose for which he sent it. God sent his son, the word of God, to seek those who are lost, to redeem those who are walking in darkness. He came and brought the light into the world. He said, now you are the light and salt of the earth. He came to give us life and to give us more abundantly. He came to give us knowledge and understanding and wisdom about our purpose in life, our job in this world, and the things that we have in the world to come. God does not play, church. We need to stop playing. We need to listen to what God is saying because you're missing out on some of the greatest blessings you will ever receive. Those of you that think you are saved, but you're not sure, you need to be sure. There are people always in every church house that don't know they're saved and don't want to be saved. They're missing out on life. And I'm not talking about physical life. I'm talking about eternal life. We have people that walk by us each and every day and we say, well, I don't want to say nothing to them. Why not? God told you to. You're not responsible for their salvation. All you're doing is responsible to plant the seed. Someone else will water and God will give the increase. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenants forever. I've been young and am now old, and I have yet to see the righteous forsaken and his seed bearing bread. Psalms 37:25. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yea and amen in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us by the glory of God. The promises of God are sure. He hasn't made no promises that he hasn't completed. And yet there's a lot of promises that are yet to be fulfilled. One of the promises is that one day we will see Jesus for ourselves. One day he's going to come and no one will see him, but we will be caught up in the air to be with him. He's going to take us home. But before we reach home, he's going to give us our rewards, not for our sins, but for our service to him. The question is, what have you done for Jesus lately?
Well,
what have you done for him? He's done everything for you. No matter how many promises he's made, they are yea. Your word, O Lord, is eternal, and it stands in the heaven. The Bible says that before his word goes out of existence, the earth and all that's been created will cease to be. And yet God's word will still stand. Not only do we see the integrity of God's word, but God's word is spiritual food. Just as we eat physical food and nourish our flesh and body, we need to feast on the word of God to nourish the spiritual being. You're more than just flesh and blood. You have a soul and a spirit if you are born again. But if you're not born again, you don't have a spirit. You were born without it. But the word says, ye cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, for flesh and blood cannot get you there. You must be born again. Amen. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures throughout life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed the seal of approval. You know, when you go to the store and they tell you this is good, and we know it, it's been tried and tested, and they give you the good housekeeping seal of it, that's supposed to tell you this is perfect. It's going to work. It's going to stand. Well, you know, you got to put some trust in it, but you also got to doubt because it's man-made. But what God gives us is God-made. There is no doubt. If he said it's going to stand, it will stand. If he says go right, go right. Don't talk about, well, I don't know. He's telling you what to do. God is going to direct you. He's going to be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Through those who ate of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It's not Moses who gives you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives it to you, the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, one said, from now on, give us this bread. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who comes to me shall never thirst. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. This bread that came down from heaven, your forefathers ate manna and died in the wilderness. But he who feeds on this bread shall live forever. Brothers and sisters, we have the table prepared. Come and eat. Later, come and eat. And when you have eaten, he will then introduce to you the new covenant. And he said, this is my blood written in the new covenant. Come and drink. If you're not sure, don't play with God's table. Go back and confess your sins and get right with the Lord. And if you're not born again, get right with the Lord. The Apostle Paul says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food. You were not ready for it. But indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, since there is jealousy and quarreling among you. And not only are you worldly, are you not acting like mere men? Paul is not teaching or speaking just to the Jews. He's speaking to the church. We have so many quarrels in our church houses, brothers and sisters, you'd think we was in a bar. Sometimes the battles get so hot and raging that people lose their tempers, and things that come out of their mouth don't come from their heart, it comes from their head. God says you're embarrassing yourself and you're displeasing your dislike for Jesus. For this is not of the Lord, this is of you. The Bible says we need to grow up. You should be beyond salvation messages. You ought to be wanting to eat some strong meat. We ought to be calling Deacon Freeman up here to give you a little bit of understanding about predestination so that he can break the bread of life and you can say, I don't even know what he's talking about. But because of the grace of God, you can understand what God is saying, what is predestination. They ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank the spiritual from the spiritual rock that accompanied them on the rock of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 10. Paul says to the Jew converts, in fact, through by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elements of truth of the word of God over again. You need not milk, but solid food. Anyone who lives on milk are still an infant and not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by covenant uses his training and trains themselves to distinguish and to discuss God's good from evil. Our job, brothers and sisters, is not only to go out and tell somebody about Jesus, but we also to help them understand what they're reading. Amen. We ought to know enough about the word that we can tell them what the Ten Commandments mean, that we're not under the law. We ought to be telling people that Jesus didn't come back to save us because we're under all of Moses' law. We only have one law to deal with. That is the law that God gave to Adam in the Garden of Eden. He said, the day you eat of this fruit from this tree is the day you'll die. That's the only law that we have to distinguish ourselves with. And it says in the book of Galatians that Jesus came back to redeem us from the law. That is the law of the death, sentence that God gave Adam when him and Eve ate. For we are now no longer afraid to enter the garden, for we don't have to worry about the sin debt. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. We just celebrated his resurrection. No weapon formed against you or me will prosper, the word says. You don't have to worry about Satan and what he's going to do and like to do. All we have to do is be of good cheer, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your work is not in vain. And last, brothers and sisters, the word of God helps us to attain the promises of God. Confess the word of God is what it says. We have to understand that may my tongue sing your word, for all your commandments are righteous. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With the same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore we speak. The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, who is the spirit of knowledge, of understanding, who will give you love, power, and a sound mind. He will give us the ability to go into the city of Jerusalem first, into any other parts of the world, and to preach and teach that Jesus saves. You don't have to be politically correct. You don't even have to know the word exactly. All you have to do is tell them, Jesus saves. He is able to save to the uttermost, and that he gave his life for those of you who are still in sin, that you now can break the bonds of sin and come to the life of right and righteousness. You are a new man. For if any man or woman be in Christ Jesus, they are a new person. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. He then gave you his righteousness, and he took our sins upon himself. We have to understand, all we have to do is tell somebody about our experience. And you'll believe this if you want to, or you don't have to. But they'll thank you because you're telling them about themselves. They are sinners. We are still sinners, but we're saved by grace. A warning that James gives us says this. When he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave on the sea, blowing and tossed with the wind. The man should think and then believe. He will receive anything from the Lord. If he is double-minded, he will not. The unstable man is double-minded, and he does not enjoy the blessings of God. James 1, 6, 8. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. I was glad when he drew me from the sinking sea and set my foot on a solid rock. When someone pointed to me, not the cross of Christ, but this is Christ. He is your Savior, he's your Lord, he's your God, and your Redeemer. I look to the cross because that's where it says in Genesis, if Jesus be lifted up, he will draw all men unto himself. But Jesus is not on the cross, brothers and sisters, and he's not in the grave. He's sitting at the right hand of power right now in the heavenlies. Amen. Jesus said, I'll neither leave you nor forsake you. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you are called. Paul said this, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for who he is, who has promised, is faithful. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is even in your mouth and your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. It is our life-saving blood that Jesus has given us, and we take it at faith. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I believe in Jesus. I trust Jesus. I'm a living witness of the power of Jesus in a life-saving situation. I haven't seen Jesus, but I know him for myself because I know him here in my heart. And in my head, Satan is always trying to put thoughts and things that will describe what I am not. But God comes along and says, trust me. Come unto me, all ye that labored and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He'll give you understanding. We have to understand John 3:16. Then there is this. The word is a cleaning word. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. Guidance from the word. He's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. He will keep you from going down the wide road with the bright lights where you think that's fun and games, but he'll send you down the narrow road. Amen. Where God is waiting for you at the end of the road. For you press towards the mark of the high calling. Press on, brothers and sisters. You'll get there someday. Jesus will not leave you nor forsake you. He promised you eternal life and that you would see the Father. And we will sup with him. And when we do, not only will Jesus be there, the Father, but the Holy Spirit as well. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they be saved if they have no one to tell them or to speak? The Bible says that when the people hear this, they will be cut to the heart and they will come crying as they did with Peter when he gave that sermon on the day of Pentecost. And those that could not speak heard it in their own language and they said, "Sir, what must we do to be saved?" Jesus said, "Here am I, come to me." Jesus said, "No more shall I take the lives of men. I am the good shepherd, and nobody takes my life." Jesus said, "I go to the cross for your sins and mine." Jesus to seek, he came into this world to seek and to save those who was lost, to promise us the abundant life. He came to destroy the work of Satan. He came to shed his blood and to give us life for the remission of sin. Therefore, we have to understand the same God that we talk about, the same God that we say has served us, is continuing to serve us. He allowed himself to be nailed to an old rugged cross. He allowed himself to be spit upon and a spear thrust in his side where he shed his blood for your sins and mine. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But early on a Sunday morning, Jesus came out of the tomb. He arose from the grave with all power in his hand. All power in his hand. And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, the Bible says you shall be saved. For Jesus is the word of God. God said, "My word does not go out and return void without accomplishing what it was sent to do." Jesus was sent to save all of humanity through faith in him. You too shall live. Amen. Please stand.